there's a verse here that will serve us well when we read verses 1 through 8. Colossians chapter 2. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. Watch verse 7 and 8. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And especially verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, what we're doing this morning is looking at a contemporary issue and seeing how it relates, or if it relates at all, to our Christian faith and our Christian belief. Now, the true gospel never changes from age to age. It never will change. It never has. It never will alter itself in order that it might fit in to the current time. It never will adapt itself to the depraved thinking of this present world. But in every age and every society, there are always those perversions and those challenges to the gospel that pose a danger to believers and those that hold the scripture, to be on their guard. Because you see, there are two ways, or there are two devices that are used against Christianity and its glorious gospel. Almost all of them can be summed up under one or the other of these headings. Number one is to pervert the Word of God, to weaken it and to dilute the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, sometimes doing that by mixing the leaven of false teaching in with that truth of the Word of God, and sometime even bringing paganism and mixing that with Christianity. Now, the second way is to seek to exterminate the gospel and Christianity, or crush it and crush it out altogether. You notice that in our text, Paul exhorts the believers in Colossae to be content with Christ, that they find everything they have need of in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in verse 3, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. That in the 10th verse, the believer is complete in Jesus Christ. He hath need of nothing beyond the Son of God as to his salvation and deliverance. That verse 7, they are rooted, established, built up in the faith of Christ. And then in the 8th verse, to be on their guard against all that is not after or according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to get at our subject of the day, let's see if we can agree upon something or upon a point. And that is that everyone whoever they might be, whatever walk of life or social status or whatever, has what we might call or has been called a worldview. Everyone has a worldview. Everyone has some kind of a philosophy of life, a worldview that greatly influences them more than anything else that we might imagine. In other words, I'll say it this way, that each one has a set of fundamental beliefs by which they live. And these guide their life and direct their way. Beliefs that affect the way that they live, that determine their value system. Thus, what has ever been true is that it is always a battle for the heart and the mind of men and of women. For you see, if one can control the mind or control the thinking of an individual, then they control that individual. That if one can control the thinking of a person, they control that person. Even as Solomon wrote, Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever he thinks in his heart is him. Proverbs 4 and 23, out of the heart are the issues of life. Even as Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 25, with my mind I serve the law of God. Now, coming to this contemporary issue, which is having an effect upon our society and also upon individuals. Political correctness is the name that it answers to in our society. And I should like to begin by asking you, what do you think about political correctness? To paraphrase the words of our Lord, what think ye of political correctness? And then I should like for you to consider, what is it about? What is its aim? What is its purpose? What influence is it having upon our society? Some, no doubt, will answer. As some answered Paul in Acts chapter 19, why, we have not even heard whether there be such a thing as political correctness. What is this? Is this some new thing? What is it? Others there are. We mostly fell in this category for a while. Others may think that it's funny, that it is simply a joke, a laughing matter, fodder for the comedians, and not to be taken seriously and to be written off as some foolishness that someone has come up with. Still, others will see it as only another fad that has come that will in time pass away and something else will come in its place. As with some, they will say, I think that it is a good thing. It promotes civility and tolerance and diversity. And so some will say, I think that it has been good. But then there are a few who will see it for what it actually is, strip it down, take off its clothes, and see it for what it actually is. And that is what I call cultural communism. It is nothing more than communism dressed up in new clothes and come a-calling upon us again. To those who don't know what it is, it behooves you to get acquainted with it because, for the simple fact, it will impact you sooner or later. Sooner or later, it will have an effect on you. How do I learn about this, you say? Well, I've learned that there is much information through Google. There's much information about it. Ask Jeeves on that website. AmericanThinker.com is loaded. SovereignIndependent.com has much information. American Free Congress has done much work and written and lectured upon this very subject. Now, to those who think that it is a big joke, it ain't funny anymore. The promoters are as serious as a case of shingles, let me assure you. To those who view it as a passing fad, here today and gone tomorrow, then I want to remind you of something, and that is that it has been written into law and enshrined in government regulations in America. It's got a foothold in government. It rules in the media. It has control now of the educational system. It is even found in the justice system and in the courts, and even is gaining traction in many of the apostate churches in our present day. And then to those who said, well, political correctness is a good thing because it encourages and promotes civility and diversity and tolerance one of another, I will say, political correctness not only encourages those things, it actually forces those things, and in many cases, by law. There are people who have been arrested, who have been fined, who have been put in jail, and who have been sent to prison for violating political correctness in our present world. Not for what they did, not for any act that they committed, but for what they said or for what they wrote. And let me assure you that there are people who have spent time in prison for this offense against political correctness. I'll say more about it later and have more proof later. But first, let me bore you, or maybe enlighten you, whichever the case may be, with a history of this movement that we come to know as political correctness. Where did it come from? How did it get here? Who is the father of it? Who has brought this upon us? Well, I tell you, it's not new. It wasn't born in our generation or in our lifetime. Soon it will celebrate its 100th birthday. It is nigh unto its 100th birthday. But being nearly 100, it is not sick, it is not ill, it is not upon its deathbed. In fact, it is growing stronger and stronger with age. Nor was it born in this country of ours. It had its beginning. It got up on its legs, so to speak, about 1919 through 1921 in that area. And remember, if you will, the name. This name is important to political correctness, the Frankfurt School, Frankfurt School, and that school was in Germany. And that school was founded in 1923 by a group of Marxist men. One of the founders was a man by the name of George Lucas, L-U-K-A-C-S. And the School of Frankfurt, at its inception, was dedicated to answering the question, who shall save us from Western civilization? They could not understand why communism was not spreading over into Western civilization as they desired it to. And some others prominent in that movement were men by the name of Herbert Marcuse, M-A-R-C-U-S-E, Theodore Adorno, Felix Weil, Max Horkheimer. Those are some of the high priests of the movement. Now, some of the founders of the Frankfurt School wanted to call it the Institute for Marxism. That was the first choice. That was the name that they wanted to give unto it. Its purpose, therefore, was the promotion of Marxism and to impose that Marxism upon Western civilization, which resisted it and was under the influence of Christianity, so that the people might not recognize it for what it was, so that the people would not know the deviousness that was behind it, so that they would not know that it was Marxism. They gave it a name to disguise its true nature. They always do this. They named it the, quote, Institute for Social Research, unquote. Now that sounds innocent. That sounds harmless. Might sound beneficial. What's there to fear or to worry about? The Institute for Social Research. Let me stop here and say, this is a common ploy of the elite in our modern society. Every time they will give a dangerous, freedom-robbing legislation an innocent-sounding name. And you know what? It fools the people every time. It works every time. They'll give it some kind of a name. You won't think there's anything devious about it. And we don't recognize it then for what it is or what it stands for or what it is promoting until it is too late. As an example of that point, there is an ideology today, and it's taken root fairly deep in our society, that is called progressive. People refer to themselves as being progressive. Those that espouse it call it progressive. Well, you might say, isn't progress good? Isn't it good that we progress along in our way? But then we take its clothes off, we strip it down to what it is, and find that it is cultural Marxism under another name. They dare not call it what it is because the people would rise up against it and reject it. Well, anyway, back to the Frankfurt School in Germany. It left there in the 1930s. Because of National Socialism having taken over in Germany, and they were thrown out of Germany, as it were, one step ahead of the German Gestapo, they left out of Germany. Well, was that the end of it? Did the movement die? Not at all. Some of the high priests of this movement, Marxists they were, came to the United States of America, and they set up the Institute for Social Research in New York City with the aid of Columbia University. And then some of these guys were hired as teachers in the colleges in the United States of America. And some of these are the ones that fanned the flames in the 1960s, the student radicalism, the so-called dropout generation, the free love hippie, if it feels good, do it generation, those opposed to the establishment who wanted to bring it down. Thus it is that born over yonder in Germany, came over to this country, the seeds were planted in America, and they have borne and are bearing their bitter fruit to this day. The leaven was injected, and now the whole lump is about to be leavened. Have you ever heard the saying, someone said this, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth can get its britches on. Someone said that a long time ago. Now, the following quote I took from a man named William Lind, L-I-N-D. This man has for many years now studied extensively the political correct movement. He's researched it, he's studied it, he's written on it, and has lectured on it many times. I've seen him on TV now and again. He said this, quote, political correctness looms over America like a colossus. It has taken over both political parties. It dominates both public and higher education. It has even captured the higher clergy in many Christian churches, unquote. Again, the same man said, anyone in the establishment who departs from the dictates of political correctness is no longer a member of the establishment. Another writer said, political correctness has rightly been called the scourge of our times, unquote, because it is cultural communism. It is Marxism in the fullest sense of the word. And its aim is to the loss of expression and thought and mind control to suppress any opposition that might rise up against it, to suppress free speech, and to impose an ideology upon our society. And not just to gain a voluntary compliance, but to enshrine it in the law of our land. That political incorrectness might not go unpunished. As for example, in the corporate world, if you work for a big company, you know what I'm fixing to say is true. That many people in large companies have been forced to submit to sensitivity training as a classroom to toe the politically correct line or to be fired. Now, often this sensitivity involves the acceptance of homosexuality. That's one thing that'll get you fired faster than anything else. Not just being quiet about it and abstaining from open criticism, but actually accepting it and affirming it as a good way of life. Even being encouraged to embrace it as a legitimate lifestyle. Thus, you can be terminated in some of these large companies for using a word like pervert or sodomite or queer or unnatural. You would be called in and given the road. Nor would it be tolerated for a Christian to insist that Christianity is the only true religion in the world. That would not be tolerated. Pardon an example. But Brother Mike, you put me on to this some years ago. I made a note of it, kept it, and it was useful in this particular study. Brother Mike put me on to this. A few years ago, the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, considered this. They considered making Christian witnessing in the workplace a form of harassment. That if you lay a Bible in the open view of your next desk neighbor, or you quoted scripture, or you try to convince them to become a Christian, or you said you're going to hell without and apart from Jesus Christ, that was going to be considered harassment under the guidelines of the EEOC. Well, Brother Mike gave me the address of the acting director at that time, and I wrote him a letter and asked, is everyone at the EEOC an idiot? And then I asked this. Look, here sits a Christian. If that guy over there uses profanity, cusses, tells filthy story, take God's name in vain all day long, will that be a form of harassment under the Christian? Of course it would not be. Political correctness is a one-way street. It is cultural communism, and we ignore it at our peril. Its first aim was the destruction of Western culture. That's when it took its feet. This they do by trying to control thought and restricting free speech. History will teach us that Lenin came to power, and when he did, he outlawed certain words from being spoken. Study your history and find that to be true. Many of you, or rather, you've heard of George Orwell, but whether you've read him or not, I don't know. But Orwell, a committed socialist, wrote in his book of a, quote, new speak, unquote. In that book, I think he wrote it about 1948. Then you look at history and you find out that President Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive and that he wanted to install new speak and outlaw certain words in our country. Now, I agree with something in an article I read, and it can be summed up in a few words, that what we in the United States have are witnessing is now the planned destruction of Western civilization, and that one of the main targets of political correctness, and don't lose sight of this, one main target of this, what somebody call cultural Bolshevism, is Christianity. The Christian church, Christianity, it is the last barrier against PC taking over. It is that last great defense against this kind of thinking permeating our society. Now, perhaps someone hearing this would say, if this is true, why have I not heard about it? If all of this is true, this sounds preposterous and over the hill to me. If all of this is true, why is it that I never have heard about it? Let me make a simple suggestion. And that is, if you get your information from the mainstream media, then they are in on the plot and are some of the strongest supporters of political correctness. Now, another might say, this can't happen in America. No, sir, not in our America. We have the Constitution that guarantees us the freedom of speech. And I would answer you by saying, look how many ways our Constitution has been violated by the politician. PC would rip it apart, rip it to shreds. May I remind you that the Supreme Court justice who wrote the majority opinion making abortion the legal law of the land tucked it away in that privacy clause in the Constitution, that he used that privacy clause to justify the legalization of abortion. PC is global. Global. Do you remember a certain presidential candidate a few terms ago, constantly, every time he spoke and opened his mouth, spoke of a new world order? We are going to establish a new world order. And finally, somebody said, you need to stop that. The people don't like it, and so he did. But a new world order. Did you know that Germany is one of 14 countries where you can be arrested and sent to prison for denying or questioning the Holocaust? 14 countries. Germany is probably the worst. There are some who have served time in prison in Germany for passing out literature regarding and questioning the Holocaust. I remember one man got 5 years in prison in Germany for that. Then we notice in our country, or we had better notice, that Muslims are now using PC to advance their cause and protection. I read in a college in Spain, the country of Spain, a Muslim student sitting in the class heard the professor use the word ham. Ham has on a pig. Yes, he just used it in passing. He said something like, our climate is good for the drying of ham. That Muslim student's ears perked up. He complained to the college professor about it. He told his parents. They filed a suit against the professor accusing him of using, are you ready, quote, xenophobic motivations, unquote, in Spain. You see, xenophobic is the fear of something foreign or a foreign person. In Austria, a bastion of socialism, a man was mowing his yard. And while he mowed his yard, he yodeled. He mowed his yard just yodeling away in the hearing of his next door Muslim neighbor. That Muslim neighbor took that yodeling to be a mockery of some of these screeches that the Muslims do in their worship services and reported him, and that man was fined some money because he yodeled in the hearing of his Muslim neighbor. In America, in many places, in many schools, anything Christmas, anything Ten Commandments, anything Christian is banned in many of the public schools of our day. But while that's true, a public school in San Luis Obispo, California, had its students pretending to be warriors for Islam in a public school. Near Oakland, California, seventh grade students were encouraged to dress in Muslim garb doing a three-week course on Islam. Now, just imagine, in the face of that, if a student had worn a shirt with an American flag on it, or if a student had have had Jesus is Lord on a t-shirt, I guarantee you he would have been sent home as a distraction. It's happened again and again and again. I read some college students. They were in ROTC. They don't wear their ROTC uniform into the classroom of the college because the teacher, the instructor, will mark down their grades. You see, political correctness, progressive, actually hate the military. At the University of Massachusetts, professors are evaluated this way, quote, what contribution they have made to multiculturalism, unquote. Because these cultural Marxists worship multi-ethnicity and diversity, and they see it as a way to dilute Anglo-Saxon culture and by extension dilute Christianity along with it. Did you hear in December 2010 that the ACLU in our country, in the state of Tennessee, the ACLU threatened some school district not to say Merry Christmas or to put up Christmas trees? Did you hear a woman on TV, on a program that's called The View? It comes on in the morning. And one of those women said on national TV that right-wing Christianity is more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, unquote. Not only is Christianity a main target of the politically correct cultural communism movement, but at present there are two very convenient allies at hand to use in their fight against Christianity. Two battering rams to break down the door. Two fiery arrows to shoot at Christianity and the gospel. Number one, and you pay close attention here, number one is the practice and the sin of homosexuality. Now, according to the Christian scripture, according to our Bible, what we believe, homosexuality is a vile, heinous sin by the authority of the scripture. But now it is becoming a government-protected sin. It is enshrined in law. It is given a special status. It is protected by the so-called hate crime laws. And when you hear that word hate crime on the news, you ought to perk up your ear. Did you know that you get a harsher punishment for a crime against a homosexual than for that same crime against a heterosexual or a Christian? And to criticize homosexuality might qualify, and does qualify, as hate speech. So political correctness is using homosexuality to attack the Christian culture, and it's something that they can rub in our face as if there's nothing we can do about it. There is a disease that has been invented for all of those who oppose homosexuality. It is homophobia. If you don't like it, if you criticize it, you might be homophobia. The PC crowd calls them gay, but we call them according to the word of the Lord. But secondly, the PCers have another convenient tool against Christianity. That is in the influx of a great number of Muslim into the country, because Muslims are the natural enemy of Christianity. And the PCers, when it comes down to one side or the other, the PCers favor Islam over Christianity. They even refer to it as a peaceful, tolerant religion. They're bringing lawsuits against our standard customs in this country, one after another. They're bringing lawsuits against things that are Christian, and they are winning in the courts. When they get significant numbers in an area, then they start pushing to be allowed to have Sharia law, that they deal by their Sharia law, not by the law of our land. And I predict, brother and sister, that area by area, and city by city, maybe state by state, it will come when Sharia law will be used by Muslims instead of our law. Are you aware that the state of Oklahoma, just a few weeks ago in the big election, put the issue on the ballot? The people voted to allow Sharia law or not to allow Sharia law. And not to allow Sharia law in Oklahoma won by a big margin. It was to have no part in their courts. It was not to be allowed in court trials whatsoever. Muslims filed suit. They filed suit against that vote, and a liberal black woman judge put the issue on hold, what Oklahoma had voted for. Islam and the cultural communists have a club both against Western culture and against Christianity, and they frequently wield that club against us. First came hate crime laws. Well, that didn't do all they wanted. They brought in hate crime speech. And now you watch for hate crime thought. Can it be far behind? A friend of mine in Mississippi emailed me the other day. We were discussing this, and he made the statement. He said, you know, the time may come when our government may put us in jail for our beliefs. We need to think about that. We must understand political correctness carried to its end is a battle for the mind to control people by controlling how they think. And though it may sound extreme and unrealistic now, political correctness will give the state control of speech if it enshrines itself fully. So let's consider Christianity, the Bible, preaching the doctrine of salvation in the light of all of this political correctness, which has criminalized certain Christian beliefs already. Now, let me repeat that. Political correctness has already criminalized certain Christian beliefs. You say, which one? Well, homosexual for one, objection to abortion and belief in the sanctity of life, opposition to what they absurdly call gay marriage, which they're legalizing state by state and moving across our country. Was the prophet Habakkuk 2:18, the apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 2, were they being politically incorrect when referring to the heathen's objects of worship as dumb idols? Couldn't say something like that today. How about the Lord calling the Jewish Pharisees hypocrites, fools, blind guides, whited sepulchers, generation of vipers? Oh, that might be hate speech if it were measured in our time today. I tell you again, my brother and sister, that its intent is to suppress the truth so it can get to suppress the truth before it can get its britches on, while the lie circles the globe, while we're trying to put britches on. PC, I call it cultural communism, murders the truth while giving aid and comfort unto a lie. It is sad but true fact that most movements that are way out and overboard, sooner or later find a welcome in the churches. It happened with the hippies. It happened with feminism. It happened with homosexuality. And it's happening now with political correctness. Apostate churches espouse all of these movements and bring them in and support them. In Acts 4:18, the apostles were commanded, "Don't you speak again in the name of this man Jesus. We command you not to teach or to preach anymore in the name of Jesus." What was their reply? Acts 4:20, they said they were bound to speak what they knew to be the truth of God, even if it crossed the drift of main thinking. There are legion more examples that I could give you this morning, present unto you, but this is all that we have time for. To suffice it to say, you better watch it. You ought to be acquainted with it. You ought to listen closely. Study it out. And study it out not just from somebody who's for it, but study the other side as well. Because I believe that its main enemy is Christianity, how they hate it. Now, they walk arm in arm with liberal apostate left religionists. They support them. But true biblical Christianity that stands upon the Scripture as the Word of God and the truth of God, they do not like it, and they have taken aim against it and are shutting down many public Christian things across our country, in schools and in government as well. How long till they attack the churches? Who knows? But we need to understand what it is, the nature of it, its purpose and its aim, and the danger that it poses to God's people and the church. Think about it. Consider it. Study it more.